Doesn't that touch you?
Amen. Yes.
Let us pray. Gracious Father, in this hour we look to you. Would you work in us that which we need to be pleasing to you? We ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Open your Bibles to the 17th chapter of Luke. Luke 17, we're beginning verse 7. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, go and sit down to me, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewithal I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Now, this has always struck me as a strange parable. Luke is the only one who records it. It is in the context of forgiving offenses of a brother. Our Lord stretched the imagination of the disciples by saying that they should forgive 7 times in a day. And the disciples said, increase our faith. And apparently he implied that they had none. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could do mighty works. Do we ask for the impossible and believe that it's going to happen? We wonder about that grain of mustard seed. But our Lord says, if you could do mighty works, even for that, you should not be puffed up. I want to talk to you about politics. There is a word that some of you may not know. It's called egalitarianism. And that is a germ with which all of us who went to government schools were infected with. Egalitarianism means that everyone has equal political and social rights. Did you understand that? Egalitarianism is that system which believes that everyone has the same political and social rights. We are at a disadvantage here in America in understanding this parable, because we are egalitarian. This country began as a republic. We're aiming for democracy, which is exemplified by and leads to mob rule. We are so engrossed with our rights that we have actually begun to believe that we have some. Well, we were taught it from childhood. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. That's not true. No two men are equal. Ask our wives. Our government schools teach us this algebraic equation. Mr. Guess can tell you about algebra. I is equal to you. Now, in the days when the Lord Jesus walked this earth, human slavery abounded. Now, I am opposed to slavery, but I note in passing that Christ did not dedicate his ministry to eradicating slavery from the globe. He announced his agenda in Nazareth. Luke 4:16, he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. His custom was he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And he read from Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." The liberation that he accomplished was from the slavery or captivity of sin.
Yes.
The Apostle Paul did not hold protest meetings about slavery. There were no sit-in demonstrations that he advocated opposing slavery. He did say concerning slavery, I'm reading from 1 Corinthians 7:20, "Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a slave? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a slave, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's slave, servant." What Paul did advise was that servants serve, that they serve diligently, cheerfully, as slaves of Christ. And this was the way he lived.
Yes.
This was the way he lived. He said, in writing to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 9:16, "If I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast about. Yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel." Let me read it. "Though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel has been committed unto me. My master has laid it on me." Amen. Now, Paul had an assignment. He was glad he did. He made the most of it. We tend to think that our form of government is the best in the world. It may shock you, perhaps, if I tell you that I think the best form of government is a monarchy, in which an autocrat is invested with and exercises absolute power. I have been living in that kingdom.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And I think it is wonderful. Now, in the story that our Lord told in Luke 17, the slave came in from the field, weary, tired, used up. And the master, instead of suggesting that he get something to eat and turn in, gave instructions, gear up, serve me until I have eaten and drunk, and then you can eat. Now, our immediate reaction to this is how selfish, how inhumane, how unreasonable. If we stop long enough to think it over, to think it through, we decide otherwise, that it is not selfish, it is not inhumane, nor is it unreasonable. Let me take you back to Exodus 21. In Exodus 21, Moses is on the mount with God at Sinai. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Verse 5 is what I'm after. The servant shall plainly say, I love my master. This is the key to prompt, willing, cheerful service.
Yes.
I love my master. Now, the Lord says, the master does not thank the servant because he did what was commanded him. Think on that for a minute. The master owned the slave. All he had been doing all day was with stuff, property belonging to his master. Now it's time for the master's meal. If the servant loves his master, he is aware that he does not know what appointments, what obligations his master has for the evening. It is enough for him that the master who owns him, who always has done what was best for him, has ordered it thus. And he gladly performs the service his master requires. Now the master may commend the servant, but he does not thank him. To thank him would imply that there was some sort of obligation on the master's part. And there are no such. Let's translate this over into our Christian walk. God created us. We are his property.
Amen.
Not only so, for the elect, he purchased us out of sin's slavery. We call that redemption. I will sing of my Redeemer. And so we became doubly his. This is what Paul meant when he said in 1 Corinthians 6:19, you are not your own. You have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body and your spirit, which are God's. And it is as if he implants within his slave a chip. No, it isn't a chip. His agent.
Yes.
To assist us, to teach us, to enable us to do the master's will. This he does for us. It is important for us to recognize these facts and to admit them so that we will have the right attitude. Suppose that God gave me some talents for speaking, a mind for learning, an ability to communicate, and an assignment to speak. So I preach. It is terribly important that I remember 1 Corinthians 4:7. For who maketh thee to differ from another?
Right.
And what hast thou that thou didst not receive?
Right.
Now if thou hast received it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? Shall I crow about achievements? There is an innate tendency that we have. We need to boast. And Paul said, I'll tell you what you can boast about. 1 Corinthians 1:31, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I have a good master. I have a great and good master. Now suppose that in the church, Mrs. Green is doing a wonderful work in Sunday school with the four-year-olds. But Mrs. Green gets to thinking, somebody else ought to do this a while. I have done my part. It's time for a change. It may be time for a change. But the privilege of teaching was a gift. The ears to hear with discernment were a gift from God. It was a mercy that she was enabled to do this. The assignment is on the administrative level, and Mrs. Green is not in the decision-making chain.
Amen.
She needs an attitude adjustment. Mr. Carruth is the only wealthy man in the church, and he has given liberally to the church and its ministries, and now he feels entitled to control the expenditures of the church. Who gave him the ability to get wealth? Who inclined his heart to contribute to the Christian causes? Whilst it remains, was it not his own? He needs an attitude adjustment. We cannot formulate plans nor execute them. Our God is in control, and it is our privilege to be enabled to be a part of His working.
Amen.
I love my Master. I love His service. I will not argue or sulk or delay in doing what my good Master is willing to entrust to my doing.
Amen.
O Lord, help us each one to do this. Did you hear what they sang? This is Horatius Bonar's poem. I was a wandering sheep. I did not love the fold. I did not love the shepherd's voice. I would not be controlled. I was a wayward child. I did not love my home. I did not love my father's voice. I loved afar to roam. The shepherd sought his sheep. The father sought his child. They followed me o'er vale and hill, o'er deserts waste and wild. They found me nigh to death, famished and faint and lone. They bound me with the bands of love. They saved the wandering one. Jesus my shepherd is. 'Twas He that loved my soul. 'Twas He that washed me in His blood. 'Twas He that made me whole. 'Twas He that sought the lost, that found the wandering sheep. 'Twas He that brought me to the fold. 'Tis He that still doth keep. I was a wandering sheep. I would not be controlled, but now, I love my shepherd's voice. I love the fold. I was a wayward child. I once preferred to roam, but now I love my father's voice. I love His home.